Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 9th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled, I Am Willing to Hold Sentient Beings in the Palm of My Hand, by Yi Ran from mainland China.
I am willing to hold sentient beings in the palm of my hand. Greetings, Master. Greetings of fellow practitioners. At this time of the mainland China DAFA Disciples Online Fahui, I would like to share my experiences of saving sentient beings. Please kindly point out anything that is inappropriate. Have a compassionate state of mind. The brutal persecution of DAFA has blinded many people and caused them to oppose DAFA. It caused many officials in the public sector of mainland China to commit crimes against DAFA. If DAFA disciples don't save them, they face very tragic endings. In a dream, I have seen long lines of officials choked to death one by one by the red demon. I have also seen policemen kneeling down in front of me and begging me to save them. In case after case in which evil policemen torture DAFA disciples, I learned that DAFA disciples have been beaten to death, beaten to disability, subjected to sexual abuse, or driven to insanity after being sent to mental hospitals. Not a single DAFA disciple, be they several-month-old babies or over 70 years old, has been spared from this utterly inhumane persecution. I often break into tears or become angry when I read such articles. How can I save them? We all know we should discipline ourselves to cultivate our Xinxing according to the standards of DAFA. So I forced myself to forbear my anger and sorrow. Once I couldn't forbear it and memorized Master's Fa. The principles of the Fa dissolved my anger and hatred. The Fa's power is boundless. In this way, once, twice, three times, the boundless power of the Fa disintegrated my sorrow, grief, and resentment, little by little. Gradually I could calm down. Gradually the compassion of a DAFA cultivator became dominant. I was able to adjust my perspective. I realized that those people who abducted and tortured DAFA disciples, those who sentenced DAFA disciples to illegal terms, they were the most miserable people. When this calamity is at its end, when the time of retribution comes, where can they go? The long history of mankind has already proven this. Those who persecute people of righteous faith will have to face tragic endings. When the sin is too great, their future generations will even have to suffer. From this perspective, whose life is better and whose is worse? My heart was filled with sympathy and pity toward the officials in the public sector. I wanted to wake them up so they could avoid sharing the same tragic fate as the evil Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. Waking people up in the maze. When I started drafting letters to these officials, I further understood the compassion of cultivators. Every sentence I wrote read like a face-to-face conversation. I wrote with my heart and evaluated every sentence and word with kindness. I avoided extreme language or anything that might trigger negativity from people. The letter not only flowed well, but also read as a heart-to-heart sharing. Practitioners told me that these letters were soul-stirring. As for the target recipients of the letter, initially, I worked from the Minghui's website Persecution News of my province and some other provinces as well. Once I knew an abduction took place, I immediately printed out relevant news reports and then wrote letters and persecution news to people who had participated in the case. Later, I thought I should mail large amounts of truth clarification materials to the public officials to clean the poisons the CCP instilled in them. Then I could truly wake them up. The tedious work started. I searched online for information every day. In the beginning, I didn't have much experience. The network card's download speed was slow. It took me a lot of time to simply select articles online. Often I stayed up past 1 a.m. Later, I installed broadband and exchanged to a new laptop. My internet speed was faster, and I also accumulated some experience. In a month, I organized over 40 commentary articles on the Mingwei website. I was confident that the content of my letter was rich and convincing. Then, from information published on the Mingwei website, I categorized public security officials in my province. I timed my letters to them and made sure that each of them would receive at least 10 letters. In order not to repeat letter contents or waste truth clarification materials, I recorded the contents of each letter. The contents also followed a sequence: persecution tactics, the evilness of the persecution, international condemnation, warnings of retribution, and so on. As for the specific truth clarification materials, I selected them based on the ranks and estimated ages of the recipients. As for the length of the articles, I adopted a reasonable length but didn't waste paper. I put maximum weight allowed in a letter but didn't exceed it. With a pure state of mind, I took care of every detail, such as editing, layout, printing, folding, and addressing the envelope. For example, I double-checked the printed materials page by page. If I saw a smudged print or content tilted on the paper, I would print out a new page. When I folded the materials, I would clean my hands first. I made sure that folding wouldn't occur on words to ensure the beautiful presentation. When I addressed envelopes, I made sure that my handwriting was clean and clear. When I sealed envelopes, I made sure not to get glue on the materials. Then I would examine whether the envelope was completely sealed and smoothed out the entire envelope with my hands. At this point, I weighed the letter in my hand and felt that it was truly very precious. When I mailed the letters, I often mailed to a mix of local and other places. I made sure the contents were rich but orderly. Sometimes I mailed out the letters from my local area, sometimes from other areas. As long as the letters were based on time-sensitive reports from Mingwei, I would ensure timely mailing, rain or shine. I often traveled to nearby cities or towns for this. Once an abduction took place, the participants would receive truth clarification letters mailed to them from different areas. They were often shocked. Based on my rough estimate, fellow practitioners and I mailed out about 10,000 truth clarification letters during a period of 2 years. 10,000 letters flew to cities, towns, and mountain areas to wake up the public security officials blinded by the CCP's lies. Of course, fruitful results took significant sacrifices. During the 2 years, I never went to sleep before midnight and often stayed up until 1 or 2 a.m. When we needed to produce a large quantity of letters in a short time, fellow practitioners would come to my aid. I often thought, isn't it returning good for evil when we send truth clarification letters with compassion to those who persecute us? Other than Dafa disciples, who else can do this? In order to send these truth clarification letters on a large scale, I learned to make voice calls from my mobile phone and sent group text messages. During the process, I often met with challenges with my perseverance and will. Once I saw a Mingwei report about severe persecution in an area, I immediately downloaded the article and produced several text messages from the article. Then I searched for mobile numbers in that area, including public security officials and other government agencies. Then I organized the numbers into groups. Each group had scores of mobile numbers. This was to meet the limit for group text messages. It wasn't that easy to compose text messages. The CCP uses its Golden Shield software to filter text message contents. If the text message contained Dafa disciple, Falun Dafa, or Dafa is good, the text message would be blocked. Therefore, if we would like to tell a story or write a message clearly, we had to overcome quite a few obstacles. We also had to think back and forth a lot when composing a text message. I often sent such text messages from other areas to avoid the CCP's tracking and positioning. Many times I walked a long way in the chilly wind and snow. However, not a single text message got past the sensor. A computer was necessary to edit group text messages. Therefore, I had to travel back home in the wind and snow. After I edited the message, I went out again to test sending them. If the sending wasn't successful, I had to return home to edit the message again. So I edited and tested the text messages again and again. Sometimes, in order to expose the evil in a timely manner, I had to walk in the dark and freezing cold of around minus 40 degrees. After I returned home, I saw the snow on my face had turned to ice. Hardship when composing MMS. One day, a fellow practitioner from another area showed me his MMS, Multimedia Messaging Service. He thought I would praise him. However, I saw that the MMS was 19 pages long, so I made a random comment. "This is too long. Will ordinary people read this?" He was surprised but didn't say anything. Later that night, he emailed me and asked me to compose an MMS. He even emailed me the MMS editor. I then regretted my comment. I didn't even know how to send an MMS, let alone compose one. I said to Master in my heart that I knew I was wrong, that I wouldn't dare make random comments without thinking them through first, and ask Master to help me out of this dilemma. Unexpectedly, I woke up the next morning and recalled sending MMS in my dream for the entire night. In my dream, many said that my MMS was very good. Some replied to my MMS to thank me. I thought this was encouragement from Master. Therefore, I started to learn how to compose MMS from published articles. Within a day, I learned how to do it. Later, I became more and more proficient. I then sent commentary articles from the Mingwei website as MMS. Some people, including policemen, did reply to thank me. As soon as I learned about a persecution case, I composed an MMS based on the Mingwei website. Then I sent out the MMS on the same night to expose the evil as quickly as I could. Then I would make follow-up MMS and MMS deliveries. I often obtained feedback from my efforts. My truth clarification MMS followed persecution cases everywhere. Especially for public security officials, I followed up my letters with MMS containing appropriate pictures. The impact was quite good. When I sent group MMS in order to avoid the telecommunications blockade in China, I had to organize different mobile numbers into different groups. In this way, I had to put different mobile numbers into different folders. Staring at lots of numbers for a long time may hurt the eyes or make one dizzy. This was the most difficult part of making MMS. Picture selections was also an important step. A good picture may enhance the overall impact and convincing power of the MMS, especially if the MMS was about the beauty of Dafa. We must select pictures with bright colors. I obtained such feedback. Someone saw my MMS and said, "Look how talented Falun Gong practitioners are." I knew it was because I did it with my heart. I treated the work as saving people, not just a project. When my Xinxing met the requirement of the Fa, the magic of Dafa manifested. I tested my MMS on my mobile phone. I reviewed the overall impact, including layout, connections between paragraphs, and the strength of my words. I double-checked every MMS 5 to 6 times until I was completely happy with it. Usually, my MMS contained no typos. I would review carefully my modifications to ensure the rigor, expressiveness, and impact of truth clarification had been improved. I treated every sentence, word, and character with care. After some time, I arrived at a reasonably good approach of truth clarification. Every MMS has to be concise with clear themes and be attractive to readers. If we squeeze a lot of content into one letter, it might become confusing. Readers might not know what viewpoint we wanted to convey. Therefore, my MMS is usually concise. As long as it would help save sentient beings, I didn't mind more work or more money spent on testing MMS. It was all worthwhile. During the year in which I composed MMS, I was able to rectify myself a lot. My shinshin was tempered. I cherished more the opportunity to save sentient beings. I composed many MMS focusing on local persecution cases. When I did that, I encountered the biggest resistance in my cultivation. Whenever I composed a local MMS, the evil would interfere with me via my emotions. My mom and younger sister would be dying all of a sudden. Several times I couldn't let go of my attachment. I cried so hard. However, I knew this was the evil interference due to its fear of local MMS, so I didn't give up. I persevered in making MMS. Once I finished, all interference retreated and the feedback on the MMS was very good. Fellow practitioners described their observation that along with our group cooperation and expansion of our Xinxing, we saw sunshine wherever our truth clarification MMS went. Good people thanked us and bad people withered. Tempering the will and persevering. I often faced challenges of perseverance. On cold days, my hands would hurt due to the freezing cold after sending out one message. My legs hurt as if they were being bitten. Should I send out truth clarification text messages? The answer would always be positive. Although sometimes my body couldn't recover for many hours, I didn't feel bitter. Once I had a high fever. My whole body was in pain. Red dots emerged on my skin, even my eyelids. I woke up from the pain. I wasn't in a good mood and wanted to sleep for 2 days. However, once I thought about the danger the public security officials faced, I immediately got up and left home to carry out my usual text messaging MMS tasks. The test of tolerance often manifested in conflicts with ordinary people. One day before last Christmas, I sent group messages to local people. One person cursed me. I sent him truth clarification text messages. When I left home to send him the messages, my position was tracked by mobile security vehicles. I was almost arrested. Luckily, with Master's protection, I realized the danger in time and avoided the persecution. I thought the cold weather wasn't even such an issue. The key was that danger lurked everywhere. Saving people is so hard. The next morning, I took the truth clarification letters I made overnight to other areas. I sent out short messages again, and when I was waiting for my bus, I received again the curses from that person. He wouldn't read my responses. He cursed more and more. I planned to send text messages on the bus, but I was hurt by his curses. I thought, I skipped my breakfast. I had no water. I was cold and hungry on the bus. I make truth clarification letters by staying up late every night. Yet sentient beings treat us this way. I felt so sad and dreary. I had never felt so before. I couldn't calm myself down and didn't send more messages. After I got off the bus, my whole body was thoroughly frozen. My face, hands, legs, and entire body were in pain. I dragged myself to walk faster in order to return home sooner after mailing those letters. However, the heater on the bus when returning home was out of order. Sitting on the bus was like sitting in a freezer. I was shivering. Then I found that my seat was taken by others. I even had more grievance. I almost cried, "Master, I don't have a seat." Once I thought this, two students stood up and gave their seats to me. At this time, the person was still cursing me with his text messages. I was sad. I thought, I was almost persecuted for sending text messages to you yesterday. I am still messaging you today in such cold weather. Where is your conscience? At this time, the bus started broadcasting beautiful music. It was one of my favorites. My eyes were filled with tears. I once had a lot of hobbies. Now I don't have time for hobbies, but spend all my time on truth clarification. In such cold weather, I spend money to suffer outdoors. No one appreciates it. My hands and legs are frozen. My face is hurting due to the cold, and I'm being cursed. What have today's people become? If I don't care about their problems and don't come out to mail truth clarification letters, I can sit at home and watch TV, listen to music while drinking tea, or go clothes shopping. I complained a lot. Just when I was depressed, suddenly warm air blew on my feet. People in the bus said, "Hey, the heater is working." The passenger next to me said, "See that? The only warm air ventilation window is beneath your feet. Who else in the entire bus is more fortunate than you?" His words reminded me. I remembered Master's protection. Master used the passenger's mouth to encourage me. Yes, as a Dafa disciple, how can grievances and hardship dent my faith in saving sentient beings? I resumed sending text messages. This time the transmission speed was exceptionally fast. Not a single message was blocked. I encouraged myself to have more patience for truth clarification. After I returned home, I saw my face had frostbite. It was very obvious. I realized that it was time for me to relinquish my attachment to face. I sent righteous thoughts to specifically target this attachment. Later, I followed up with the person with more letters, pictures, and text messages. He stopped cursing me. One day, the Mingwei website reported the abduction of dozens of practitioners by the evil police in Rongcheng City, Shandong Province. Many more practitioners were forced to become homeless. All of a sudden, there was an atmosphere of paranoia. On the same night, I composed the details of this persecution case in an MMS and sent it to over 1,000 police security officials. I called for kind people to help search and collect personal information of evil policemen and their family members in order to deter the evil with more impact. Once a policeman cursed me for 3 days with mobile message replies and threatened that he would take action if I didn't stop messaging him. I ignored him. Not only did I continue, but I also sent MMS with the song "Awakening" to public security officers. I heard his reaction. He cursed and jumped up and down and shattered some ceramics, such as cups. Then he threatened me again via text messages. This time I remained unaffected. I wanted to be a qualified disciple of Master. 2 days later, I communicated to his knowing side. "I will give you one last opportunity. If I don't owe you anything, you have to stop cursing me, otherwise your sin will be huge." Then I transmitted the character Save via telepathy and MMS'd him a picture of a parade in Hong Kong. He indeed stopped cursing. Follow them to save. I would also like to share my experience of following sentient beings in a city to save them. One day, I sent an MMS regarding Beaujolais to over 1,000 public security officials in a city. Even before I finished sending the MMS, I received messages and phone calls in reply. I then replied with voice calls. Some listened to the entire voice recording. I targeted my MMS to the head of the brainwashing center in the city and his family members. I asked him to voluntarily dissolve the brainwashing classes. I wrote truth clarification letters to expose his stories of transforming local Falun Gong practitioners. I mailed the letters from multiple cities to his two daughters, who had already joined the workforce. Later in my dream, he cried and begged me to let him go. He told me that his family members all disliked him. He didn't want to transform anyone anymore. The 610 office director of the city cursed me once I sent him an MMS. I immediately replied with another MMS. He stopped cursing me. An evil policeman in this city had participated in the persecution for many years. Based on the Minghui website news, I composed over 20 versions of truth clarification letters about his crimes and mailed the letters to many people in his locale from 6 cities. I heard from fellow practitioners that when he saw Falun Gong practitioners, he would lower his head and try to avoid them. The head of the 610 office in the management bureau of the city had been following the CCP in persecuting DAFA. Lately, he claimed that he would send a practitioner to the brainwashing class. Per practitioner's suggestion, I composed an MMS to expose his bad deeds. Local practitioners then sent the MMS to over 6,400 ordinary people, including people in the public security system. The management bureau's enterprise was very big and famous in the area. Soon, the community was stirred up. People sneered at him. His bad deeds of persecuting DAFA disciples were widespread. I then followed him with voice calls. I found out that he didn't dare to answer phone calls at home. I then called him at work. He had to answer phone calls at work, but hung up after a few words. It was very obvious that bad people had lost bluster. Now, when I write my experiences, I feel that it is no big deal, as if I'm telling someone else's stories. However, at that time, it was one test after another. Such tests were countless. Only because I cultivated in the Fa could I have such willpower. This year, on Master's birthday, I studied the Fa and said righteous thoughts first, then sent MMS with a pure mind. It was raining all day long, but I persevered in the rain. In half a day's time, I sent MMS to over 1,000 public security officers. Afterwards, my clothes were all wet. It was a little bit cold. However, my body felt so light, as if I were flying. The awakening of people and their salvation. I often mail truth clarification letters to the director of the 610 office. After some time, he told me that in order to stay away from the evil, he had resigned. He thanked me for my letters. I realized the good impact of truth clarification letters. I continued to mail such letters to the new 610 office director. One day, a person called this new director and reported a Falun Gong practitioner distributing materials. He responded, "Falun Gong materials are everywhere. How can we deal with them?" The person calling then stopped reporting on practitioners. Another person took truth clarification materials to the Public Security Bureau. The police asked him, "Where are your materials from? What does the person who distributed these materials look like? If you cannot tell us the information, then maybe you practice Falun Gong. Let's go search your home first." The person knew that the police were giving him a hard time. He immediately said, "I'm wrong. I will not pay attention to this anymore." Once two local practitioners were taken to the Public Security Bureau, the policeman said that they had received a lot of truth clarification letters and knew what Falun Gong was. They sent the two practitioners home on the same day. It seemed that those truth clarification letters were truly effective. Half a year ago, a local middle school hung up slanderous materials in the hallway. A practitioner was under pressure because he refused to sign a flyer that slandered DAFA. Fellow practitioners and I made over 100 truth clarification letters and mailed them from different cities. This practitioner also shared with his principal cases of retribution. After some time, the principal and teachers in this middle school talked about the kindness of Falun Gong practitioners and voluntarily removed those slanderous propaganda materials. One morning, I was on a train heading to another area. I suddenly remembered that a practitioner in a neighboring city would be put on trial soon, so I sent two messages, "Wipe your eyes and be a good officer," to public security officers in that day. I hoped to wake them up so they would stop persecuting good people. I used two mobile phones and sent the message to 70 people. Later that day, I learned very encouraging news. During the time of my sending text messages, the court appeared quite unusual, as if they had received orders from above. Dozens of officers read the text message on their cell phones at the same time. Then they looked at each other with shock and embarrassment. Fellow practitioners' family members didn't know what was going on, but observed quietly. At this time, the presiding judge adjourned the case suddenly and said he would pick up another date for the trial. when everyone was leaving, the judge told practitioner's family members that he didn't want to sentence this case. He hoped that the practitioners could be released through bribery. This was very encouraging for me. I thank Master's support that I sent the text message to the court when the illegal trial was occurring. At the same time, I believe there were still good people in public security. They didn't want to be ordered by the CCP to commit bad deeds. During this Chinese New Year, I sent text messages and MMS to people at the Provincial Party Committee in my area. Once I sent them an MMS with a picture of Hong Kong's practitioners spreading the Fa. A person from the Public Security Bureau sent me a blank reply. I thought he might know the truth, but didn't dare to say anything due to the pressure. Therefore, I replied to him, "This calamity that persecutes good people is about to end. The truth will be known to the world. During the battle between good and evil, good people will definitely see the time when evil meets retribution. Falun Gong practitioners sincerely hope that all kind people will be happy and safe." The person then turned off his mobile phone. I knew that he truly understood the message. For some time, I made an MMS based on the shameful ending of persecutors, a commentary on the Mingwei website. I sent the MMS to many public security officers in Shandong province. Then I gathered retribution cases in Shandong province and sent them over via MSS, following up with voice calls. A policewoman in Rongcheng City asked her husband to answer the phone calls. Her husband answered but put the call on speakerphone. I heard the woman say, "Hear it, it's Falun Gong. We are in very big trouble. Those people did too much. Now Falun Gong is seeking us." The couple murmured to each other and didn't want to hang up even after the voice call recording finished playing. I heard the kindness of this family, so I sent over an MMS, a blessing for the year of the dragon. One day, I thought about several evil police women who had tortured me in a labor camp. I sent them an MMS warning from the Wang Lejun incident. To my surprise, the most notorious policewoman, Wang, replied to me and asked me who I was. Her question triggered my memory of her torturing many practitioners. I asked myself, "Do you hate her? If the disaster comes, if I see her trapped in a fire, will I lend her a hand?" Once I thought of this, my compassion as a Dafa disciple emerged. I adjusted my state of mind and composed a truth clarification letter, just for her. At that moment, the resentment I harbored toward her for a few years disappeared completely. What was left was only the worry and sympathy for a life that had committed too many crimes. On the night of writing the truth clarification letter to her, she cried in front of me in my dream. I sent the MMS about Wang Lijun to over 1,000 people in the Political and Legal Affairs Committee and my public security systems. The impact of the MMS exceeded my expectations. I received replies. The most surprising one was from the head of public security in the capital of our province. I edited targeted messages and replied to him. I told him why he should quit the CCP and why we ask people to say Falun Dafa is good. I told him Falun Gong is Buddha Fa cultivation. No matter who has persecuted disciples of the Buddha Fa, he has committed an enormous sin. However, the Buddha Fa is boundless. The five Chinese characters Falun Dafa Hao carry the power of the Buddha Fa and can reduce karma for people. Therefore, those who regret what they have done and would like to start anew should persist in saying Falun Dafa Hao. After I sent the MMS and returned home, I saw Master's words. The things you are doing can shock and frighten the evil today, can greatly reduce the evil and restrain it, can terrify the evil and prevent it from having the strength to carry on with the persecution, and can ultimately force this evil persecution to do nothing but end. That is what Dafa disciples are doing in this time before the Fa rectifies the human world and its is magnificent. Teaching the Fa at the 2004 International Fa Conference in New York. I was very inspired. At that moment, I wanted to say, as a Dafa disciple who follows Master's requirement to save sentient beings, I am willing to hold sentient beings in the palm of my hand. I would like to end this article with a song that often moved me to tears. Sit by my side, to express my thoughts of assisting Master rectifying the Fa. Sit by my side, closing your eyes, together in silence, we call for the end of torturing, the end of killing, the end of the persecution. Compassion grows in our hearts. Together in silence, our wishes can make a difference. Thank you, Master. Thank you, fellow practitioners. Hasher.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.